the storms of life like my Lord. He gives rest to the weary, brings new life to the hopeless. There's no doubt about it, He's my Lord. Yes, He's my Lord. There is no other one who can calm the storms of life like my Lord. He gives rest to the weary, brings new life to the hopeless, and there's no doubt about it, He's my Lord.
One more time.
He's my Lord. There is no other one who can calm the storms of life like my Lord. And He gives rest to the weary, brings new life to the hopeless, and there's no doubt about it, He's my Lord. So let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands towards heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands towards heaven and praise the Lord. So let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands towards heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands towards heaven and praise the Lord.
One more time.
So let's just praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just our hands towards heaven and praise the Lord.
Amen. We just want to welcome you this evening to the house of the Lord. Let's keep it in the same key. Their sister will speed it up just a little bit. If you would pull up that song, It Gets Sweeter as the Days Go By. It gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, fuller, deeper, sweeter. Oh, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, fuller, deeper, sweeter. Oh, sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. One time. Yes, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, fuller, deeper, and sweeter. Oh, sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. I'm a new creation, and I'm a brand new man. Passed away, I've been born again, more than a conqueror, that's what I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Oh, hallelujah, he redeemed me. Have we all received of Him? I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away, I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's what I am. I'm a new creation, a brand new man. One more time. Oh, so hallelujah, He redeemed me, and I've been born again to Him. And I thank God He justified me. Of His fullness have we all received of Him. So I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away, I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's what I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. So I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away, I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's what I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Let's put it in the key of G. There's Sister Wolf. Go ahead and change the order of our service. I apologize on that one song. I forgot the Buchanan version is not what we sing in the book. So I apologize. So, but before we bring our needs before the Lord here, let's sing that song, Touching Jesus. So touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life
the same. There is only one way to touch Him. Just believe when you call on His name. So touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. There is only one way to touch Him. Just believe when you call on His name.
Man, if you would just continue to play that softly there, sister. We just have a few prayer requests to bring before the Lord this evening. If I could have Brother Jason come up and pray over these prayer requests once I'm finished. We just want to continue to remember Sister Amber McCall. She has an unspoken prayer request. We just want to remember that need, as well as Sister Karen Buchanan. She's also still not feeling well, so just remember that need as well. Just want to remember our pastor, Brother Barry, who's not here tonight. He's sick and at home, so we just want to remember him as well. I have a prayer request to please remember my mom's brother-in-law and sister. Their names are Scotty and Sue Lynn, so just remember them. Scotty was diagnosed with pancreatic and liver cancer, and he started his chemotherapy, and he's doing it every other week. But they told him that he will have to continue probably for the rest of his life. So we just want to remember him and remember the family as well, because that can be very tough and very trying on them. And just remember Dad as well. He has a doctor's visit tomorrow and is just needing some strength from the Lord to make it, because it's his last one before any kind of transplant or anything like that. So just remember him and Mom as well in prayer. And just a quick little prayer request from my wife and I on our dog. He's just having a lot of health issues at this moment the past few weeks. So we know that God touches us, but He also cares about His creation and those that we love, the things we love. So just remember Him in your prayers as well. But that is all the spoken prayer requests I have. I know we all have unspoken prayer requests close to our hearts, so just keep those close as we go to the Lord in prayer.
Heads bow our heads. What a fitting song, Lord. Touching Jesus is all that really matters. Lord, we're reaching out to You this evening. Lord, knowing, Lord, that You are more than capable to meet our needs, Father. But Lord, You said, ask abundantly. And Lord, tonight, Lord, we've come to Your house, Lord, not only to hear from You, but knowing, Lord, that if we asked anything in Thy name, believing, we would have what we asked for. Lord, I was just looking out across the congregation, thinking of our brother John James, Lord, needing direction for work, Brit and family, Lord, continue to lift them up, Lord, as they go through this time of healing, Father. And Lord, the different ones, Father, that have needs on their hearts, Father. And I know I have needs on my heart, Lord, and just been seeing You move in the last couple of days, and I'm so thankful for that. And just hearing the testimonies, Lord, of this weekend, how You've moved, Lord, with different families and answered prayer, Father God. And Lord, we think of our brother Keith this evening, just needing a touch from You, Lord, needing to go see this doctor's appointment tomorrow. Lord, I just pray, Father God, that You just give him the strength that he needs, Lord, and just give him the faith, Lord, give him the encouragement, Lord, and as You would just put one foot in front of the other, Father, you know, each step, Lord, is ordained by You, Father God. And Lord, we're trusting in You, Lord, and we just thank You for everything that you've done to this point, Lord, and knowing you're going to continue doing great things, Father. And Lord, I just lay my hands on these requests that were mentioned by Brother Mitch. Lord, not remembering them all, Lord, but you knew them before they were even written down, Father. And that's just the wonderful thing about our God, Lord. You know, even before we ask what we have need of, Lord, and we're thankful, Lord. Lord, we just pray for the service tonight, Lord, as Brother Mitch continues to lead us in worship, just preparing our hearts, Lord, preparing the ground. Lord, as the word would come, Lord, the seed that's within us, Lord, would just get watered, fertilized, Father, as we grow in you, Lord. Take the ministering brother, Lord, as he would preach, Lord. Just move him aside, Lord. Speak directly to our hearts, Lord, we ask. We just ask for your perfect will tonight. In your name we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, brother. You may have your seats. Let's switch it to the key of C. We'll just sing a couple of songs here before Brother Aaron comes tonight. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. So this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. All is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above. This is my story,
seen my Savior all the day long.
Amen. If we could have the ushers come forward at this time, and we'll take up our tithes and offering real quick. And at this time, too, we'll go ahead and invite Brother Aaron to start making his way out this evening as well. Amen. Brother Chris, if you would pray. Just as Brother Aaron comes, let's sing that song, I Saw Love, Mercy and Grace, in the key of D.
So I saw love, mercy and grace. I saw love, mercy and grace.
Call me, I will answer, lead me, Lord.
exalt thee.
If you have a need, you can show by raising your hand. Heavenly Father, we exalt you this evening, Lord. We know that angels, they bow before you. All creation, the birds, they worship you, they praise you in the morning. Lord God, as David says, praise the Lord in the firmament of his power. Praise him in the excellence of his works. Father, we know that you created us for us to worship you, Lord. And there is no greater joy we have than to know that we have a great God. We have God that fills all time, space, and eternity. And that, Lord, before your eyes, O God, you have chosen us and you have loved us, O God. Considering, Lord, how great you are, Father, that you made all the heavens and all the stars and the galaxies, but you chose, Lord, to consider us, Father, to be your children, Lord. And to come in our midst and to dwell with us, Father. Lord, we cannot fathom, O God, the greatness of your love. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, as your spirit is near in our midst, Lord God. You see the hands that are raised up. We pray, Father, that you may meet each and every need. For we know that you are a merciful God. And you are a God that can be touched by what we feel, what we go through, Lord. You know, Father, our anxieties, you know our fears, you know our tears, Lord. You know, oh God, when we are cast down, you know, Father, all the troubles that we have. Father, you know us, oh God. Lord Jesus Christ, we are just committing ourselves into your hands, Father. Just opening our hearts to you that you may speak directly to us, oh God. Father, may you take the man and may you just be the one to speak directly to your people. We ask, Father, that, oh God, may every sickness, Lord Jesus Christ, be cast out of this place. We pray for Brother Barry, oh God, the sickness, the infection he has on his throat, on his sinus, that we pray for complete healing, oh God. For we know that the enemy would come, oh God, to just smite the shepherd. But Father, we know that you are the great shepherd and you watch over your servants. Lord, we want to pray for Brother Keith, Lord, after two successful procedures, appointments, we know that we have one more to go. Father, if it was our way, we would not even want a procedure. We would want, Lord God, complete healing. But Father, it's not for us to determine how you are going to visit. We're just trusting, oh God, that the work that you have begun in the life of Brother Keith, you'll be able to accomplish it. We commit, Father, all of these needs and requests into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much, musicians. You may have your seats. We greet you tonight in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. trusting that you are all having a wonderful week. If you could stand with me this evening to open our Bibles. Did I say sit down? That shows I'm very nervous. Amen. The hardest is to forget to tell people to sit down. All right, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. Isaiah 53, verse 7 is a very familiar scripture. I was just meditating upon this scripture just in the whilst we are in the spirit of Easter. Maybe let's start from verse 5. If you have it, you can say amen. Amen. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. We, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of these words. You may have your seat. Brother Barry was not able to be here tonight. He texted me, I think, sometime last night. We were speaking. We actually had a phone call. He wasn't feeling too good, and he had to see a doctor. And he gave him some medication with, you know, sinuses. So he really wanted to come, but we felt led that maybe he could rest so that he can recuperate and hopefully he can be here on Sunday. So he says he has got what they call laryngitis. I don't know how to pronounce that, but I think it's some form of... Sorry? Oh, yeah. I don't want to call it a first world problem, but that's fine. But we have to pray for him. For any other person, it's not a big deal. For a minister, you don't want anything that that attacks your throat, because your throat is your feast, right? That's what you fight with, right? So we definitely want to pray for him, and he just wanted prayer so that he doesn't develop into pneumonia or something bad like that. And then, you know, as mentioned, Brother Keith had two successful appointments. He has one more appointment, so he's just, you know, towards his procedure. So we just want to keep him in prayer. If you have time, reach out to him, send a text. You need encouragement during those moments. So today we don't have I don't have slides, so I will say like Peter and John, look on us. I was told by the airline I have to wait for 4 weeks until they confirm that they cannot find my laptop. So ever since my trip to England, I've been preaching manually. And I feel very good because that's what I used to do at home. So I really, really feel good just to be going the old school way. Amen. Sometimes it's just good to just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying using slices. I want to make sure I don't sow the wrong seed. You know, but it's just nice just to have, you know, your notes printed out and just follow where the Lord leads you. So our sermon title tonight, for those who like to write notes, it's called The Lamb Before the Shearers. And we find it in verse 7 that we read. The Bible says he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. And the prophet says that's what makes him God to me. Is that after all those afflictions, after all going through all these things, he opened not his mouth. And the Bible says that he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shearers, he is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And many times we find that we, We get ourselves into trouble because of the way we are not able to handle our mouth. There are many scriptures in the book of Proverbs that I don't want to get into tonight that talks about being able to control our tongue. One scripture says, in a multitude of words, sin is not absent. And the prophet says, and we know according to history, they say that the disciples, they were men of few words. Now, being men of few words doesn't mean that they were introverts. It means that they were very, very circumspect in their speech. They were not people who were quick to say things. They were not people who were quick to comment on things. And many times, you know, we say things too quickly and we realize, you know what, I shouldn't have said that. And sometimes, you know, you have to say other words to reverse the other words. But, you know, you don't want to be doing that. You want to recognize that the reason why we get ourselves in trouble is because of what we perceive ourselves to be. It's sometimes, you know, our reaction is based on our perception. You know, because, you know, our perception gives us this idea that the expectation that people are supposed to treat me this way. People are supposed to talk to me this way. And if it does not come precisely according to our own expectation, then it sets off some nerves inside of us. And then we feel like we have to do something about it. And then we feel like, you know what, I have to stamp my authority. I have to remind people who I am. I have to show that person what they are missing. Maybe they are missing something. Maybe they don't exactly realize what this means to me. And many times we find ourselves doing things. We find ourselves saying things. And in those situations, many times we don't please the Lord. Because we are fighting for ourselves. And we are not meant to fight for ourselves. We are meant to fight for the Lord. And we are meant to stand upon His word. Because sometimes, you know, we can forget who we are. And the journey of Christianity, as we are in Easter, it begins with death. Because Christianity starts with death. Because without death, there is no resurrection. That's why many times people, they struggle with, you know, receiving the Holy Spirit or overcoming certain things or becoming born again, because you cannot be born unless you are willing to die. Because Jesus, he told the Pharisees, he says, unless a man is born again, he cannot understand the kingdom of heaven. And he says, shall I then go to my mother's womb? He says, no, you don't have to do that. You have to die to yourself. And death is not physical. Death is taking yourself out and having Christ live in you. Death is when you give up yourself and put on Christ. It's not putting on a denomination. It's not putting on a church, because that makes you a cult. Right? I see people who are dead, but they've put on a church. You know, you see the Millerites, you see the Amish. We don't want to be like that. We want to put on Christ. We want to put on the word. You know, it doesn't matter what Brother Aaron says. It doesn't matter what Brother Barry says. What does the word say? Because even if I tell you something that is contrary to the word, you stay with that word. Even if your wife convinces you of something against the word, you stay with the word. So you want to be married to the word. Because the church cannot redeem you. If you know the laws of redemption, it was only a man that can perform the work of a kinsman redeemer. A woman could not redeem you. Because a woman represents the church. The church is a bedding ground. But the church cannot save you. The church cannot help you. Only the word is able to change you. Only the word is able to change your life. So you can go to this church or this church and this church. Unless you have been with Jesus, you cannot have life. Because life comes from the man. Hallelujah. Praise be the name of the Lord. Now the prophet says here in the message and exposition of the seven churches, he says, now notice Laodicea, it means the people's rights or justice for all. Was there ever an age like this 20th century age where all nations are rising up and demanding equality, socially and financially. This is the age of the communists where men are supposed to be equal, though it is only so in theory. This is the age of political parties who call themselves Christian Democrats, Christian Socialists, Christian Commonwealth, Federation, etc. According to our liberal theologians, Jesus was a socialist. And the early church, under the guidance of the Spirit, practiced socialism. And that's what we ought to do so. The prophet is saying these are the doctrines that are coming in this age. He calls these Christian Democrats or Christian Socialism. Now, you often hear the prophet talking about a social gospel. That is what we talk about when we talk about a social gospel. Is when you preach social issues instead of the word of God. You know, because there is a pressure in the world to fight for social issues. Social justice. I want to fight for the climate. I want to fight for... Some of those things are very, very noble causes. But we are not called to fight for social causes. We are called to fight for the word of God. We are called to stand with the word of God. We are not here to stand for this social cause or that social cause. If the cause aligns with the Bible, we say amen. If it's contrary to the Bible, we say no, thank you. So if you want to hear my position on things, you read what the Bible says. If you want to know what I feel about abortion, I go to the Bible. I don't go to a certain website, a social website or a political website. I go with what does the Bible say about this issue. If you want to ask me about everything, because my king is Jesus. My king is not the king of this earth. I'm not looking to a president or a political party. I am looking to Jesus. Because I am saving Jesus. And I fight for Jesus. Because at the end of the road, I shall receive a crown. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So this is what the prophet calls a social gospel. And it's very, very rampant in this age. Especially if you go in the South. Until it slips in the church. You know, people, they conflate, you know, the church with social justice and civil rights and different things. And that's a very, very enticing temptation. Because those things are very popular with people. And people can feel very good, you know, when you talk about those things. But that's not what we were sent to do. We were not called to be social warriors or to be, you know, social justice advocates. We were called to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our kingdom is not, as I said before, it's a kingdom. A kingdom has a king. So things are not up for debate like in a democracy. No, sir. We have a king. And a king cannot be impeached. A king cannot be elected. A king cannot be voted. He was before and he shall always be. What he says is what is thus says the Lord. It's not the Congress says or the council says. It's not subject to negotiation. That is why many people fail to receive the message or the Bible in general. Because they want to negotiate their way out of many things. Hallelujah. That's why you have got denominations. Because they carve out things. You know what? We can believe the Bible, but we'll carve out this. Or we'll carve out that. But we as the bride, we take the fullness of the word as it is. We take we eat the whole lamb. The Bible says, eat the whole lamb. Eat the hooves. Eat like we do it in Africa. We eat everything. I saw a fishing video of Brother Noah. And they caught a fish and they threw it back in the water. I said, oh my. These Americans. We eat what we kill. Hallelujah. Praise be in the name of the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just... So Isaiah says that Jesus was a lamb who was led before the shearers. And I want you to understand that this scripture, put yourself in this scripture. Sometimes we can become so Calvinistic until everything is about Jesus and we put ourselves out of the picture. Now, we have a part to play because we are part of that scripture. Because a husband and a wife become one flesh. And we and Christ are one in spirit. So the scriptures that pertain to Jesus, they also pertain unto us. Not that we have to die for our sins. Not that we have to do something to get salvation, but that we have got a part to play in the ministry of Jesus. Hallelujah. So Jesus is a lamp. We also are what? Are lamps. Jesus is a vine. We are also the branches. Because we are inseparable from Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was our perfect example. Because though he was in the form of the Father, he came down and he became a son so that he could be an example of how every son of God ought to be. So Jesus is the Son of God. But he is not just a son of God, he is the firstborn begotten from the dead. If he's the firstborn, it means there's a secondborn. It means there's a thirdborn. There's a fourthborn. And that thirdborn, fourthborn is you and me tonight. We are also lambs that have to go before the shearers. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Acts chapter 26, verse 19. The Bible says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." This was Paul who was testifying before King Agrippa. And when he was brought before King Agrippa, he shared his testimony. And the Bible says in the book of Revelations, they overcame the beast by the testimony of their mouth. Whenever Paul was put in a corner or whenever he was in trouble, he would go back to his testimony. And he says, "I was a Pharisee of the stock of Benjamin, and I was persecuting the church. But one day I saw a light." His faith was based upon an experience. It was not an intellectual faith. It was not something that was explained to him. It was something that happened to him. And that became the beginning of his ministry. Your ministry starts with your testimony. How did you come to the Lord? Amen. How did you meet Jesus? What did he do to you? What does he mean to you? Because if it's academic, somebody's going to explain it out of you. There's going to be a website somewhere that's going to explain everything out of you. But if it's something happens to you, you're able to stand there like Paul and say, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I was on my road going this way, but I met a light." Amen. And Paul, he was stricken from his high donkey and he fell upon the ground. And when he fell upon the ground, he was able to see the vision of Almighty God. Jesus was always there all the time, but Paul could not see him because you know what? He was very high on his horse. But it took an experience. And a real experience will take you from your high horse. It brings you to the ground. And sometimes God may use this too. He may use that too. He may use your family. He may use your job. He may use your wife. God, who has many tools in his toolbox, to bring you to the place where he can speak to you. And he says, "I am Jesus whom you persecute." Hallelujah. And Paul says, "Who are you, Lord?" And he became blind. And sometimes when we become blind, that's when we can see better. Sometimes we don't see because our eyes are too open. Sometimes if we are able to close our eyes, then we can see much further than we can see if our eyes are open. And many times, because we spend most of our days trying to see with our natural eyes, we lose things. But if we are looking to the unseen, then we are able to have faith. We are able to transcend and to go over situations because we are not focusing, we are not trusting in the natural eyes, but we are looking through the eyes of our spirit. And Paul was able to talk to God, to see Jesus when he became blind. Hallelujah. And he was able to receive instructions. And he was told, "Go to the house of Ananias and he shall pray for you and you shall be healed." All of those conversations, they happened when he was blind. Sometimes God may put us in a hospital to speak to us. Sometimes it takes a situation like you're losing your job or losing something that you love for God to speak personally to you. It may sound strange, but God does it sometimes. The Bible says his rod and his what, they comfort me. And the prophet says it's a rod of correction. Sometimes it's not, how can a rod comfort a sheep? Sometimes it's a chastisement. Not that you are doing anything wrong. Sometimes God just wants you to go in a certain direction. Yeah. Chastisement does not always mean there's something wrong with you. God does not work like that. God corrects his people, but he does not chastise us the way we think. Amen. Now let's continue reading. The prophet says, a lamb don't have but one thing, and that's wool. And he has to forfeit all he's got. He don't kick up or fuss about it. Think about it. Everything that the lamb has is the wool. And the prophet says, he has to forfeit all of that. And that's the journey. Sometimes that's what God does with us. Sometimes it doesn't take just our nail or just, you know, trim our hair. Sometimes it takes the wool from us. And the wool is everything that the lamb has. And if you look at it with a natural eye, you may think this is very cruel. This is all that this little guy has got. But God sometimes takes that. Because you know what? He wants you to have more wool. He wants you to be lighter. It's good for you. At that moment, you may not understand that. But the shepherd knows that you have to go through that. Hallelujah. It's your comfort. Your wool is your comfort. It's your covering. It's your honor. It's your dignity. It's everything that you can. It's everything. It's about who you are. It's a part of who you are. It's your identity. It's what you are identified with. When you talk about sheep, the first thing that comes to mind is what? Is wool. Yeah. That's who you are. And God says, I'm going to take that away from you. And you take that little fellow, throw him up there. It's like a lamb, dumb lamb before his shearers. He gets sheared off. He don't fuss about it. Only thing he got is he forfeits it. He's willing to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the difference between a goat and a lamb. And you know what? The shearer will never look for a goat because a goat will never produce wool. But only a sheep has wool. And he is led to the shearers. Laodicea is people's rights. They are looking for rights. They are fighting for social justice. They are fighting for this. They are fighting for different causes. They are fighting for electric cars. They are fighting for vegetarian burgers. All kinds of things. But we as the sheep of God, we follow the shepherd. And the Bible says that my sheep hear my voice. And a stranger, they will not follow. And the sheep, they eat sheep food. And they follow that shepherd. And they eat the pastures where the shepherd leads them to. Hallelujah. And they drink from the water where the shepherd leads to. That's the sheep of God. And in this age, it's becoming very difficult to really realize that we are sheep. Because everyone wants to be a lion. Everyone wants to be a justice warrior. You know, brother, I did this. You know, I wouldn't let me. Everyone wants the best deal. It's a cutthroat world that we live in. But that is not the nature of God's children. God's children, sometimes they lose. But you know what? God's children never lose. They win all the time. But naturally, it may seem like you're losing. But in the grand scheme of things, we always win. But our way to winning is not what you think. Our way to winning is this. Obedience. And we say we are Christians. Somebody wrote me a little letter the other day. And a little note, he put it, I go down here, it says, I'm an American citizen. I wear any kind of clothes I want to. Go right ahead. It's all right. That shows you're a goat. That's right. You just go ahead and wear them if you wish. But remember, if you are a lamb, you have got a right to eat, but you forfeit your rights for Christ. But if you are a heavenly citizen, you forfeit your right for what? For Christ. We do have rights. But these rights are promises. And promises are privileges. We ask God. And guess what? God knows what we need. And God has provided the best for us. That's one thing I like about our Lord. It's not a chaotic planning that God is figuring out things. He's receiving requests like, 1,000 emails and he's trying to sort through them. No, sir. God has already pre-planned our life. If you look at the birds, there's something in them that tells them. Because you see, you look at nature, then you see the wisdom of God. The birds, before the rain comes, they build the nest. They are not engineers. They never go to an engineering school. They don't. No one has ever taught them, you have to use this. They have to find water-resistant material. They have to find a material that is light, something that can withstand heat and water. And who tells the birds that? It's the wisdom of Almighty God. Amen. The beavers, they build dams by just, taking some small, little branches, and they build dams. And they say because, when the beavers build those dams, it helps, the ecosystem. Who gave them that wisdom? It's Almighty God. Yes, hallelujah. Praise be the name of the Lord. Now, if God can give wisdom to a bird, if God can give wisdom to a beaver, don't you think that he knows about our lives? Amen. Don't you think he knows about our circumstances, our fears, our anxieties, our troubles? He knows all about it. Yeah. All we have to do is to trust him. Amen. I got a right to get drunk tonight. I'm an American citizen. I got a right to smoke cigarettes. I'm an American citizen. You have to. But we forfeit our rights. Be shaved off like those things. Act like gentlemen, like ladies. Dress like, act like, and live like it. Forfeit your rights. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says, I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. Yeah, now, this scripture does not just apply to Paul. It applies to all of us. Because we cannot put the Bible in buckets to say this section is for the ministers. This section is for Brother Branham. And this little portion is for me. That's not how it works. The Bible is for all of us. And if we are Christians, we have to believe the Bible. We have to be like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was born just like any other man. He was 100% God, but you know what? He was also 100% man. He had every right to find a girl, go out dating, live like any other young person. He had every right to go to college, start a business. He had every right to do all of those things. Because he was born a son of God, but he was also 100% flesh. The prophet says he was 100% God and he was 100% a man. That's why he was crying tears in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because he had to make a choice. It was not an easy choice. And he says, if it was my will, I would say this cup pass from me. But not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. Amen. That's when he won the battle. When he accepted to be a lamb. And when he became a lamb and accepted the will of the Father, that's when he won the battle. When he went on the cross, he was just going through the notions. Because the battle starts in the mind. When you ask yourself, who I am? Who am I anyway? So what? What does it mean if I lose this, if I lose that? Who am I anyway to begin with? I'm just 6 feet of dirt. I am nothing. I don't deserve nothing. I came to this world with nothing. I will live with nothing. I don't deserve anything. That's where it starts. When you have that attitude, then you don't lose anything. Because you know that everything belongs to God. Amen. And whatever I have, I've been given by God. And if he takes it, then that's up to him. Amen. But the moment we think we own something, then we become disappointed. Because we feel like it's mine. But I've got news to tell you, you own nothing. I own nothing, friends. I don't even know if I will make it home tonight. The breath that I have comes from God. Amen. That's how vulnerable I am. I could be one appointment away from a diagnosis from a doctor. Only God knows. So who am I then to say, no, my life should not be this, should be that. I have to trust and wait upon the Lord. Because in the grand scheme of things, I am nothing, friends. Hallelujah. The prophet, and he says here, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he says, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. This is what, you know, Brother Andy Murray quoted the other day. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his what? His death. Because every Christian has a cross. There's a cross for me, there's a cross for you. There's a portion of death in us. What does it mean to wear a long skirt when everyone in summer they can wear these shorts? That's death. Everyone can have some margarita and oh, I have a sweet tea and water. That's death. Right? And all the young boys say. Now, Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. It didn't say Satan, it says God. And he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son. I want you to see how God knows us. He says, take now thy son. Remember, Abraham, this time he had Ishmael. He had all kinds of, you know, shenanigans. But God knows. And he had daughters, I believe. Even he had even many other children after, you know, Isaac was born. And he says, take now thy son, comma, thy only son Isaac, comma, whom thou lovest. Which means that God knew exactly what Abraham loved. He knew that. And get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, when we read these stories, it's very nice to read as a bedtime story to our kids. But if you put yourself in Abraham's shoes, and you look at your children, then you understand that it only takes revelation. As a human being, you cannot do this. As a human being, you cannot go through this. It only takes the Holy Ghost to take over you for you to go through this. And one thing I like about this scripture is that God is the one who initiated that. And God knew exactly what he was doing. Amen. Because Isaac was a type of Jesus Christ. Now, if you go to Luke chapter 18, verse 22, the Bible says, and when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Now, up to this point, we don't have a record of anyone being told, sell everything. But Jesus tells the rich young ruler, sell everything. Why? Because that's what Jesus Christ wanted at that time. He's sovereign. He may not ask me the same thing that he may ask you. He may not ask this one the same way that he asked this one. But he does what he wants. Once one could argue and say, why didn't you ask Peter? Why didn't you ask this one? Why just this young man? Because Jesus knew that's what was upon his heart. And you know what? God wants him to be the principal thing upon our hearts. We might have houses, we might have lands, we might have all these things, but you know what? David says, when riches increase, don't set your heart upon them. God wants to be the one who is in our hearts. Jesus wants to be the first in our lives. Jesus, he wants us to be, it has to be all about him. Jesus first, everything else second. The singer said, you can have all this world, but just give me Jesus. When I rise in the morning, give me Jesus. When I come to die, give me Jesus. When I lose my job, give me Jesus. When I go through a trial, give me Jesus. I can lose everything. All I want is Jesus. Bible says, he who gives his life shall find it. He who keeps his life shall lose it. Sometimes we try to keep our things. We try to keep our... That's fine. That's a human nature to do that. But you know what? We have to surrender things to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. One lady says something back in the old buggy days. The prophet is saying, he says, back in the horse and buggy days, the horse ran away with her going from church, says, what do you do? She said, I trusted the Lord until the lines broke. Well, that's the time to trust the Lord. After the line is broke. Some people say, you know what, brother, I was a faithful tithe payer. I would go to church until this sickness came. When the sickness comes, that's the time to go to church. Amen. You know, brother, I loved the Lord. I used to pray. I trusted God in everything until I lost this. When you lose that thing, that's the time to trust God. Amen. Because if you trust God when everything is okay, then you're not trusting God. You are worshiping circumstances. But God exists outside of our circumstances. Because your religion is based on the circumstances around you. And when they change, your religion changes. So your circumstances really are your God. But if you can worship God, regardless of circumstances, then you have got a revelation from God. Amen. Then you are going somewhere with God. Amen. Oh God, what difference does it make? Remember, you sheared me. Took my wife, the prophet is saying, my baby, my dad, my brother, you sheared me clean. Yet in my heart, I knew I loved you. How you've blessed me, how could you have been all that I am, all that I could be, all that I ever would be? It's you, God, it's you. I confess my wrongs. I confess all I've done or thought. Just shear me off, Lord. I want to be your lamb. If you listen to the tape, the prophet was crying when he was saying these words. If you go and listen to the tape, I remember back then he was literally crying. He says, Lord, now imagine, God said, you're a prophet. I've raised you above all the other men that have gone before you. You're going to forerun my second coming. Oh, this is a great script, right? This is a great script. Then what happens? It says, you took my wife, you took my baby, you took my daddy, and you took my brother. You sheared me clean. The prophet, he had absolutely no reason to remain a Christian. It did not make sense for him to continue as a Christian. God gave him every reason. He gave him enough justification to stop coming to church or to leave the message. But you know what? He was a lamb of God. You are a lamb of God. I am a lamb of God. Brother Branham didn't understand this. But one thing he knew is that I loved you, Lord. And that's the only thing that you need to know. You don't have to know why. You don't have to know how. You just have to say, Lord, I love you. Amen. You have no way to explain it. You have no way of understanding it. But you know what? We shall understand it better by and by. Amen. Hallelujah. We shall understand it better by and by. One said, further along, like Brother Keith was saying, further along, we will know all about it. But one thing I like is that when we get over yonder, it will be much better. And we understand that it was actually very good that God did it the way he did it. John Wesley. Now, I spoke about the seventh angel. Now, I'm dropping to the sixth angel. John Wesley. Now, this is what they say. When John Wesley was 5 years old, the Epworth parsonage caught fire. He was saved by a neighbor who climbed on another neighbor's shoulder to reach him in a second-story window, rescuing him as the roof collapsed. And his mother, Susanna, he called him a brand plugged from the fire. John Wesley became a firebrand spiritually, but he was also a firebrand naturally, because God took him from the fire naturally. And you can read about many great stories of men that have walked in this earth. Is that sometimes when much is forgiven, you love much. It changes you. It transforms you. Now, all that energy, all that, the devil can he try to harness that. But if you can harness it to God, it will be amazing where God can take you. John Wesley almost lost his life. He almost perished. But God was showing him that I love you. I have got a purpose for you. There's a reason why. One time, Brother Branham prayed for a young lady and she died. And he says, Lord, why did you take her? And after months, they came to her and says, ask the parents, wasn't this young person supposed to have died? But God says, I was waiting for that person to make their life right so that I could take them. Amen. So God knew exactly what he was doing. Amen. And God did not need to explain that to Brother Branham. And he doesn't need to explain things to me. Right? God has his children, friends. The prophet says God harnesses trouble, puts bits in its mouth, and makes it obey him. And those troubles bring us closer, into a closer fellowship with God. And he says, there has been no rainbow until the flood came. But after Noah was pressed into that condition, there it was. A rainbow only comes after the flood. The Holy Ghost, God reveals himself through troubles. Have you ever thought about that? Why would you need Jehovah Jireh unless you are in need? Why would you need Jehovah Rapha unless you are sick? Why would you need a comforter unless you are broken? Why would you need Jesus is my light unless you are walking in darkness? It's only when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death that you need him. So Jesus reveals himself in troubles. Why did he allow sin? So that he could show that he was a savior. He could not save me unless I was lost. So I had to be lost so that I can know that he's a savior. Now I worship him as a savior because I was lost and he redeemed me. So whenever you find trouble, you find Jesus. But the devil wants you to focus on the trouble. And then you fail to see Jesus in the midst of the trouble. In the midst of the fire, Jesus Christ was there. In the lion's den, Jesus Christ was there. In the flood, Jesus Christ was there. When you were in the hospital on the deathbed, Jesus was there. He was there all the time, my friend. He was there. He was there. He was there all the time. When they had run out of water, they found water from the rock. They thought it was a rock, but that rock was Jesus. When they were hungry, they got manna from heaven. They thought it was just falling from the sky, but that manna was Jesus. It was Jesus all the time. Sometimes you go to a hospital, you talk to a doctor, you think it's just a random doctor. Sometimes it's Jesus Christ in that white coat talking to you. Sometimes you talk to someone in a grocery store. That's why the Bible says you must entertain strangers. Because some have entertained angels unawares. Because Jesus is always there with us, friends. And sometimes we fail. He doesn't come the way we think. He's not going to come like the man of a Jewish man, you know, from Galilee with sandals on. Sometimes he comes in the form of a neighbor. Sometimes just somebody sending a text. Just somebody you're sitting next to, maybe someone you're flying with. Jesus comes in mysterious ways. He works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. I've seen him do it over and over and over. Up until I've now just surrendered my life. No matter what happens, I know Jesus Christ knows what he's doing. Amen. My life is in his hands. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He was the rose of Sharon. But to get the perfume out of a rose, you have to crush it. His beautiful life was crushed. At a young man of 33 and a half years, that we might live. So the fragrance comes only after crushing. Do you know that our life is a fragrance? It could be a sweet fragrance. It could be a bad fragrance before God and before people. But our life is a fragrance. You may not know it. You could be a sweet person or maybe not a sweet person. But when we are crushed, when we die, when we give our lives and the Holy Ghost is in us, then we are a continual fragrance before God. We become living sacrifices. In the Old Testament, they had frankincense. It was made from spices. But those spices had to be crushed. And they had to be mixed with oil. And then, you know, as Brother Andy said, you had to put them on the fire. And then they produced a sweet fragrance unto the Lord. This is why, even when you are tired, you have to pray. That's right. It's a sweet fragrance. Amen. When you are beaten down, worship God. Amen. The Bible says when the messengers came to Job, and they said, you have lost this, you have lost that. The Bible says, and Job worshipped. Yes. That was a sweet fragrance unto God. Amen. And God could boast about that. God could stand up like Stephen. The first time we hear that God was standing up is Stephen when he was being beaten. He says, Father, forgive them. And he says, I see Jesus standing up in the right hand of God. Sometimes God does not save you. He just stands as a way of saluting your faith. Because the Bible says that Jesus, he was moved by the Gentile faith. Sometimes God is proving to the world the seed that he has laid in you. And sometimes he's not going to come and rescue you. Sometimes he's just going to have you as a display. That is my son. That is my daughter. And Jesus stood up for Stephen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. We have about 10 minutes and then we'll close. If you have it, you can open it. The Bible says, for our light affliction, somebody say light affliction. Now the devil doesn't want us to read the Bible like this. He wants us to see heavy burdens. But the Bible says it's what? It's a light affliction. Which is but for a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Covet not this world's vain riches. They will swiftly decay. When you are in a trial, the devil will try to exaggerate the trial. But Paul is saying it's a light affliction. I want you to tell the devil, it's a light affliction. Say, it's a light affliction. The devil, he likes to, it's like in CNN or Fox, he likes to put like a big red headline. Oh, the world is ending. Oh, you're losing your job. Oh, this is happening. It's a light affliction. Oh, you are sick. Everything is over. Oh, you know, it's like he tries to, especially in this age that we're living in. That's why people are so nervous, because everything is hyped up. Oh, the stock market is crashing. Oh, everyone is going to lose their 401k. Oh, everyone run. It's a frenzy. But Paul says it's a light affliction. And Peter says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened. You know? That's what Peter is saying. Paul is saying it's a light affliction. Peter is saying it's not strange. It's okay to go through trials. Don't ever let the devil tell you you're a son of God, you can't be sick. You can go. You can have COVID if you're a son of God. If you're a son of God, you can lose something. You can lose your car. You can get into an accident. That is not strange. The moment we say it's strange, then we are preaching a social gospel. That is not the realities of the Bible. As a son of God, you go through sickness. But you know what? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But God delivereth out of them all. But the devil wants you to think it's strange. Why is this happening to me? This is very strange. And Peter is saying, no, he says, beloved. He uses the word beloved. It's not strange. And Paul says in Corinthians chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, he says, there is no temptation, but such is what? It's common to men. It's common. You know, the devil will never show you these things. He wants you to feel like you are alone, you are lost. God hates you. God is very angry at you. God is visiting you for all the mistakes. That's not true. That's a lie of the devil. It's a light affliction. It's not strange. It's common unto man. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A lot of people will stop here and say, oh, praise God. And that's good. But let's finish. I will give you what? Rest. But then what does he say? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am weak and lowly, and you shall find rest for your souls. There is rest, but there is a yoke. You see that? He wants to give you rest, but he's also giving you a yoke. You say, Brother Aaron, how does this make sense? But then he says, but my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the yoke is there, but it's easy. The burden is there, but it's easy. What is the burden of a Christian? Am I pleasing my Lord? What is the burden of a Christian? I want my brother to be saved. That's your burden. That's an easy burden. Than the burden of thinking, how am I going to quit cigarettes? How am I going to pay for child support for all these seven kids that I have fathered with different women? That's a tough burden. But the burden of thinking, how best can I homeschool my kids? That burden is light. That yoke is there, but it's light. And it's easy. But it's there. Don't let no one tell you it's not there. It's there. There is affliction, but it's light affliction. Philippians chapter 2 says, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in what? Which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form of God, he thought it robbery not to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. Remember what we said. Disappointments come because of our reputation. When we think, how can this happen to me? Me. But he is saying, but he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of man, but being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself. And he became obedient unto death, even the death upon the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given a name above all other names, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of the things in heaven and on earth. Now Jesus, the Bible, if you read in Greek, it says that he humbled himself. And when he was found in the form of a servant, the word is that, if you read the Greek, it says he enmorphed. to a servant. And he humbled himself. He cannot, the word is kenosis. He emptied himself. And he became a what? A servant. But Paul is not just talking about Jesus. He's saying, but you also, let that mind be in you. Because if you have this mindset, you become a lamb that is led before the shearers. And that is how Jesus was able to redeem man. He humbled himself. It's condensation that brings redemption. It's kenosis that brings reconciliation. That's the Greek word that is used by this scripture here. Jacob was asked by Pharaoh. And he says, how old are you? And you'd naturally think that he was just going to say, I'm 75 years old or something. But Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of my pilgrimage are 130 years. And he says, few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. And they have not attained unto the days of the years of life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Jacob realized that he was a pilgrim. Isaac was a pilgrim. Abraham was a pilgrim. We also should accept that we are pilgrims. Sometimes, you know, we try so hard to fit in this world. But at some point, we have to start accepting who we are. We are pilgrims. We don't belong in this world. We are not a part of this world. We love people. We fellowship with people. We hang out with people. We work with people. But we are never going to 100% blend in because we are pilgrims. The earlier you realize that, the easier your life becomes. Acts chapter 21, verse 10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he came unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and says, thus says the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owneth this girdle and shall deliver him in the hand of the Gentiles. And when he heard these things, both we and them, they of that place, besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? I am ready to be bound, not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. This is a man who loved Jesus Christ. A prophet is saying, hey, don't go to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound. That says the Lord. And people started weeping. But guess what? Paul was not weeping. He says, why are you weeping? Why are you breaking my heart? He says, I am ready to be bound, even to die to Jerusalem. He had surrendered his life completely to Jesus. And he says here, but to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. That's how much Jesus Christ meant to him. Now, I don't mean that you take this like with a suicidal spirit. No, that's wrong. I mean like the revelation that strikes you when you are in that situation. Amen. I'm not saying we should take this scripture and become like the jihadi and say, I'm going to die, brother. I'm just going to die. No, that's not what we mean. But we mean that when you are in trouble and all you think about is Jesus, if the musicians can come. Now, the prophet says we must remember that the seventh seal is the end of all things. That's right. The things written in the seventh seal's book, sealed up of the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world in every bit end. It is the end. It is the end of struggling world. It's the end of struggling nature. It's the end of everything. It's the end of the trumpets. Now, we know that everything is struggling. We ourselves are struggling. How many knows that? Because Paul says we are longing to be clothed. Because when we are in this body, We are not in our natural state. We are longing to be clothed. And the Bible says we don't know what we ought to pray for. But God sends His Spirit, and it bears with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And the Bible says that we cry with groanings, and we say, Abba, Father. The word groanings, meaning that we are not exactly happy where we are. We'd rather be somewhere. We are trapped in these bodies of flesh. And sometimes we go through situations where it becomes hard upon us. Sometimes we wonder why. Sometimes it's hard. But you know what? There is a spirit that God sends. And that spirit grounds and testifies with our spirit that we are sons. That's all that Jesus wants to hear, is that you are a son. That's all that God is wanting to hear when you pray, that this is my son. This is my child. I love him. Amen. If we could stand upon our feet. One singer said, it is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea, all I can say is, it is well with my soul. Are you a lamp tonight? Are you going through a situation? God is there with you. And I want to say, because you have been obedient, because you have been following Christ, you have been following the word, God is bringing you out of that situation. God is bringing you out of that sickness. God is giving you a testimony. Don't worry about it. Just surrender it in the hands of Jesus. Don't put yourself in the picture. It has got nothing to do with you. Our life, we are revealing Jesus Christ. Don't point to yourself. Don't let the devil beat you and say you did this or this. This has got nothing to do with you. It was not Job who initiated the trial. That was Satan and God having a conversation. And Job was not there. And it had nothing to do with Job. And I want to say that it had nothing to do with Job, and it has nothing to do with you. But at the end of the day, everything that Job had lost was restored. Everything was restored a double fold. How many knows that? But his children, it was not a double fold. And the prophet says, you know why? Because the other children were restored in glory. They were waiting for him in glory. That's what the prophet says. Let's bow our heads and our hearts. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. Sometimes, Father, as a minister, you want to find an exciting sermon. Sometimes you want something to make people jump and laugh. But sometimes the Holy Ghost comes with a burden that is different. Father, if things were said, Lord, that were not exactly the way you wanted, please forgive me, Lord. But Father, I pray for your children, Lord, tonight, including myself, Father. Help us, Father, to follow your voice, to follow your word. For you have called us to be sheep. You did not make us sheep, but you called us because we were sheep already. That's why we heard the message of this hour. Many people criticized. Some thought we were following a man. Some thought we were following a cult. Some thought we were losing our minds. But there's something in us that was hungering for more of Jesus. There was something in our hearts that was hungering for more of God in our lives. Father, no matter the circumstances, oh God, some rainy days, some sunny days, Father, we want our minds to be stayed on you. For God, you said in your word that you will keep with perfect peace those whose eyes are stayed upon you. Lord, when Peter looked at the tempest, he began to sink. And you said, why did you doubt? Help us, Father, to keep our eyes upon you. Oh Lord, help us to turn our eyes upon Jesus. That all the things of this world, all the trials, all the troubles of this world, they become nothing before our face. As Paul says, I have considered all things to be like dung, that I may have the excellence of knowing Jesus. Father, even the critics, they went to Fanny Crosby and they said, "You are blind. How shall you know Jesus when he comes?" And he says, "I shall know him by the nail prints in his hands." They were looking for God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, tonight. Lord, with broken hearts, Father, thinking about our own selves, Father, how we have tried to fight for our right, to fight for ourselves. But Lord, you said we ought to trust in you. For the battle is not ours, but the battle is of the Lord. Father, we are trusting you tonight, oh God. Father, the sickness that has been troubling some of us, Lord, we are just giving that over to you. Father, our insecurities, we are giving them to you. Our anxieties, we are surrendering them ourselves to you. Our security is not in ourselves or in what we can do, but it's in you, oh God. We thank you tonight, Father. We remember our pastor. Bless him, oh God. Heal his body and bring him, Father, back on Sunday. Touch him, oh God. We are committing him into your hands, Father. All the years of laboring in the field, the enemy will come, Father, with all kinds of trials. We're just praying that you strengthen him, oh God. Bless the balance of our week. Help us to be steady, Lord, in this environment, Lord, where politics is charged, economics, jobs, things are just supercharged. Help us, Father, to wait upon the small, still voice that says, "Peace, be still." That says, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." Father, even when you raised from the dead, you saw the disciples and you said, "Children, do you have anything to eat?" And Lord, you gave them bread and fish upon the fire. Something so simple, but you were showing them that you were there with them and you cared for their needs. Heal anyone that may be broken tonight. Those that are wondering and questioning and going through trials, may you strengthen them, oh God. Lord God, we know that when you were in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was an angel, the Bible says, that came and strengthened you. May you send your angels to strengthen your people. Strengthen Brother Keith this hour, Lord. In his hour of trial, oh Father, may you just be with him, my God. We commit him into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you on Sunday. Brother.
In peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my life thou hast taught me to say, my soul.
Standing in
His presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there
song here, and then we'll be dismissed. I was given, though, a prayer request just after we were dismissed earlier, just to remember Sister Connie Hughes. She's still continuing to have problems with some head and hip pain, so we just want to remember that need as we dismiss this evening. So just keep that in your minds. That is all I have, though. Just remember the service on Sunday. And just pray for our pastor and the needs that were mentioned as well. But as we dismiss, let's sing that song, He's All I Need. And as we sing it, you're dismissed.
He is all I need. He is all I need. Jesus is all.
Jesus is all.